Ephesians chapter 6. We're all but done with this book. It's, I don't know how long it's been, but here we are. The whole armor of God, part 7. The whole armor of God. Last week we dealt with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, as Paul has been out laying out for us. The armor of God, which we have said throughout this entire study, is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. That's what it is, because this armor is spiritual. The Bible says God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so God's been fitting us with the armor of God, which is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I heard one pastor say, was that all of the fitting of the armor was for the work of prayer. That to be included with, obviously, the work of being a witness and living in the earth, and the importance of, and we understand this in this day, the importance of truth and righteousness, the importance of peace and faith and salvation. And with all the warfare that's going on, the importance of what it means to have a sword, to be able to do battle, to be able to fight for oneself, is necessary. Today I want to move on to verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, where it reads, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Father, we thank you now for your word, and we thank you, O God, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. You're speaking today. Amen. Your voice, O God, Lord, you are speaking. May we hear in our inner man. May we be changed, and may we hear the word of God that is fashioned for us today. Lord, that we might be transformed, O God, that we might be built up and edified in the faith. And Lord, that we might persevere and come to that that you have prepared for us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, one would think with all the armor that Paul said that we needed and all the armor that he had given to us, that that would be the end of it. We have all the armor that we need. Now let's run off to war. Let's run off to battle. However, that's not the end. Having outlined all that the soldiers would need, you have to understand that not only does the Christian do this, but in worldly governments, particularly in that day, that before a king would go off to battle, before the army would go off to war, they would consult with the diviners and the sorcerers. And they had a way of, they would kill an animal and take its liver and shake the liver. And depending on what the liver showed, either said you were going to win, or you look it up, or you're going to lose. That, oh, yeah, they had all kinds of things. They looked at the weather. They looked at the weather, okay. But before they went off to battle, you remember in the Old Testament, you remember the one prophet, Israel, of course, they went to God. Okay, but when Israel would fall away from God, they would go to the false gods. And so at one point, there was this Hezekiah had gone to, he was the king of Judah, he had gone to the king of Israel to fight with the king of Israel against his opponent. And God told him not to go. And Maybe Josiah. So he went anyhow, and before they went, he said, let's see what the prophets are saying about this war. And so this one false prophet made horns and said, go, because God's going to cause you to push the enemy out with the horns. You're going to have victory in battle. And all the prophets were prophesying that, except for this one prophet of the Lord.
Josiah says, is there a prophet of the Lord here? And he said, yeah, but I don't like what he says. It was Micaiah, the prophet's name, but it was Micaiah. And he says, yeah, there's a prophet of the Lord here, but I don't like him. He never prophesies good over me. Hello. Well, amend your ways, king. He never prophesies good. So they call him, and he prophesies, and he says flippantly, he says, oh, yeah, go. You're going to just go ahead. You're going to have a great victory. And king of Israel said, see, I told you. Why is he playing with me? And then Micaiah said, thus says the Lord, you go out there, you're going to lose. You're going to die. And basically it's what he said. So the king, you know, Josiah put on his garments. He went into battle, and the other king was killed. But they would consult with the prophets. They would consult and try and find out which way the battle was going to go. Well, here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, after you've got all dressed up and put on everything you need to do battle, what you need to do now is we need to pray. Paul said, praying always. And that word always means in every occasion, prayer. Pray. I don't care what the occasion is, but whatever. And in this life, I always say to myself, how is it, you know, that Christians have a problem with prayer? Because all you have to do is live one day. You can't go one day. I can't go one day, because you're going to hit something that's good that you don't have the power to deal with. It happens to me every day. I'll be like, oh, Father, help me. Father, help me. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And so, matter of fact, I was just reading in Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15. And the Lord said that he was going to come against Ephraim and Judah. He was going to cause them, he was going to bring some judgment against them, because he said this. He says, when they are afflicted, they will seek me. And there in that one verse came a very deep truth. When people are afflicted, that's when you seek God. Let me say that again. See, Psalm 119 talks about it, about affliction. But when affliction comes, that's when the heart turns. And when hardship comes, and when something hits me that I have no control over, I'm going to God. Oh, yes. That's the way it is, right? Hello. Because we, you know, we're not masters of our own ship. Sometimes we like to think we are, but we're not. And so Paul said in prior verses that you're to stand, having done all to stand, girded with the belt of truth, so forth and so on. And here Paul says the Christian soldier is to stand on their knees. How do we stand? We stand on our knees in prayer. That's how the Christian stands, on their knees in prayer. Why? Because we need him so very desperately. The armor of God does not exclude prayer. Paul wasn't saying, here's the armor of God over here and it's separate from prayer. No, the armor of God is fitted for prayer, for both of them relies on God. The armor is the armor of God, and prayer is obviously going to God with our needs and our petitions, but more than just that. And so, let me read what one commentary says about this passage of scripture. He says, it would be well for the soldier who goes forth to battle to pray. That's every day for you and I. We're going forth to battle. Let me say, it would be well for the soldier who goes forth to battle to pray. Why? Well, to pray for victory. I'm about to go into a battle here. Be nice. Lord, help me. Give me success. Lord, help me overcome my enemy, be it doubt, fear, unbelief, whatever it might be. To pray for victory, or to pray that he may be prepared for death should he fall. Now, he's talking about a literal battle there, literal soldiers. But soldiers do not often feel the necessity of this. To the Christian soldier, however, it is indispensable. Prayer crowns all lawful efforts with success and gives a victory when nothing else would. No matter how complete the armor, No matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we shall be defeated. Man, I like that. No matter how complete the armor, no matter how skilled we may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous we may be certain that without prayer, we shall be defeated. God alone can give the victory. This is why when the U.S. says, we've got the greatest military, I say, shut up. Stop the nonsense. Hello. We're going to get to it in the second song, 20. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Some trust in chariots. That would be our tanks. Amen. Some trust in horses. You make the comparison. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hello? Doesn't matter how great your army is. What type of horse, what type of chariot you have. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumph. Let me read that again. God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed completely for the spiritual conflict, if he looks to God by prayer, he may be sure of a triumph. This prayer is not intermittent. It is to be always. Okay, and so this is why we understand all throughout the scripture when Jesus was preparing for the spiritual battle that he was in and entering and that was about to grow in intensity, he said to his disciples, he took the 12 and he went to the garden. The Bible says he took the 3 and he went a little farther. He says, pray with me. He said, Peter, I want you, Peter, James, and John, you pray with me. Then he left them and he went even farther because he was preparing himself for spiritual battle. What was he doing? He was praying. How do we prepare for spiritual battle? Prayer. Prayer. That's how, but I don't like to pray. I don't know what to do when I pray. I don't know what. You know, life has a way of teaching us. You know, there's some things you can't be taught from a pulpit. There's some things you won't be taught from. Well, I mean, let's go to the scriptures. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you pray, say. He taught them. But then when he went to the cross, that was some 3 years later. When he went to the cross, his disciples couldn't pray. They were napping. He taught them how to pray, but they were napping. Sometimes situations happen to us. Listen, I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to learn you how to pray, as they say in some parts of the country. I'm going to learn you something. And you get in a circumstance, and you come out of that circumstance having learned something that you did not know before and no one taught you. Hello? Some people call it the school of hard knocks. Who is it? Creflo Dollar calls it the school of neology, where he learns things in prayer versus having to go through it and fail. Well, Jesus told Peter and his disciples to pray. Why? Because they were entering into a spiritual battle. Jesus was doing what he needed to do to prepare for a spiritual battle. The disciples weren't. And while they were sleeping, Jesus was praying. God help us. God help us. I'm not saying like in the Larry in the 1980s, or was it the 80s? Yeah. Well, the 80s and the 90s, we had the Larry Lee, Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour, praying through the Lord's Prayer, if you remember, if you're old enough to remember that. I'm not saying go out and you have to spend an hour in prayer. Be nice. But not nice so you can stand up and tell someone, I spent an hour in prayer. Be nice because you're fellowshipping with your Father who's in heaven. That's why it would be nice. But we must pray. We must pray. Paul said it. Praying always with all prayer. Let me read
Psalm 20. And for those of you who don't know, when you read Psalm 20, let me read a little bit of it and explain. Psalm 20 reads this way: May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. Psalm 20 is a psalm written when the king would prepare for battle and he was going to take the army out to defend the nation. They would pray this over the army. They would pray it over the king. And they're saying here, may God answer you in the day of trouble. May he remember, verse 3, all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. That right there is, if you remember, when Saul was supposed to go and fight the Amalekites and Samuel said, don't offer the offering until I get there, I'll offer it. And Saul, because the people were scared and they were leaving Saul, he got nervous and he went and offered the burnt offering. He's a king, not a priest. When you're a king, you cannot offer offering. You just stepped out of God's order and God won't have it. And so Saul, because he was afraid the people were leaving him, he broke a commandment of God and God rejected him because of it. Hello? Okay. Well, what Saul was doing was what the king would do. He would offer offerings and petitions to God. He would pray. The king would ask God for victory before they would go out in the battlefield. That's what this psalm is about. And he goes on, verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. How many would like that? We all say, oh, yes, Pastor. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, are you serious? Yes. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. And so here the declaration is, we're going out against this army and they trust in chariots and horses. And believe me, in this day, chariots were huge. If you had chariots, you had an enormous advantage over your enemies, over these guys walking around either on horses or on foot. You had an enormous advantage. But the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, said, we're not trusting in them. Said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Though we have bowed down and fallen, they have bowed down and fallen, but we are risen, have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the king answer when we call. And that was simply at the end of the battle, may the king still be standing. Okay? And so, just as in this passage of scripture. And then when you go read Psalm 21, Psalm 21 was what they would declare over the king. When the king came back, they would rejoice in God's salvation, delivering the king and giving him victory over the battle. So when you read those two psalms, that's what's going on there, okay? And so we as the children of God who are going into battle, we need to pray and ask God for victory. We need to pray and ask God, Lord, help me to overcome. Because I'll be saying, Lord, because you know me, I'll get in there and stink the whole thing up. That, Lord, no, help me, help this boy, because I know me. Do you know you? If you know you, you should be crying out to God because you know you, right? God, help me, Father, help me. Whatever battle you find yourself in right now, we need to pray and not give up. Hello? That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says this, Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not to give up. Then he told the parable of what some call the unjust judge, some call the persistent widow, but he told the story of the widow who would not let go until she got justice from an unjust judge. So we need to pray. Paul says, praying with all prayer. And I don't want anyone to be discouraged, because when Paul says praying with all prayer, he's not saying, I want you to stop and pray 8 hours a day, quit your job, you can't,
watch TV, you can't exercise, you can't do this. I want you, no. Because religious spirits will do that to people. Yeah, when they read that, that's what they'll hear. Got to stop everything. Only to go do it and still not to have the victory. And then the devil go, got you. No. He says, praying with all prayer. Prayer is general. He says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. One New Testament word study says, Vincent's word study says, that prayer is general while supplication is special. Okay? Prayer is of various kinds, formal, silent, vocal, secret, public, petitionary. You know, there's all types, there's different kinds of prayer. There's conversational prayer where you talk to the Lord all the time, even when someone's talking to you. That's how I know. Are you talking to me? I'm talking to Jesus. I need to talk to him. I need to hear him on everything, right? And so, but there's not only that, there's prayer, that congregational prayer that we do here. There's Tuesday night prayer. There's all kinds of different types of prayer. And then let me read a few scriptures, because the New Testament talks about praying always, or praying on every occasion. Acts 6:4 says, when the apostles had the challenge of the widows, they appointed 7 deacons and said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, Paul says, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In the book of Acts, when Paul had gone into a city to preach the gospel, he said that they went out on the beach, and there was a place where women gathered to pray. Prayer is a constant theme all throughout the book of Acts. Prayer is a constant theme running through the church. Amen? And sometimes when we need a prayer lift, God will allow things to happen that will increase our prayer flow. Hello? Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Hello. In everything by prayer. What does everything mean? It means earth thing. I mean, everything means earth thing. It means everything. And so it doesn't matter what obstacle that you hit. You know, I pray, you know, I'm out cleaning people's carpet, and when I knock on the door, I'm praying, Father, help me. When they open the door, Father, help me. Doesn't matter what, you know, circumstances, praying about everything. And those are little things compared to what Paul's talking about, right? But no, we must pray every day, reading the news, getting on Facebook. Whew. Because people's lives are right there on the page. And with at my age, you got a lot of friends who are going through heart attacks, you know, whatever it is, people going through. And I don't go there to read, laugh, ha, 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 ha. I go there in my heart, and I'm like, Father, help them. Father, Lord, we need you so desperately, oh God. Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, giving yourself to it, and not forgetting thanksgiving. And so Paul says, praying always with all prayer, but then he says this, and supplication. Now, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? So I wanted to look at that a little bit and look at what the scripture has to say about it. I'm gonna use a little bit because it's real and you can identify with it if you watch the news. So the mayor of San Juan, Puerto Rico, we saw on television, if you've been watching the news, we saw an illustration of supplication. Because what supplication means is to beg. It means to plead. Okay? Listen, here's prayer. Father, I'd like
You're driving through a parking lot. Lord, I need a parking space. Come on, you know Christians pray for parking spaces. Hello. And that's fine because where we are. But if you in Afghanistan and you're a Christian, or if you're in Somalia, or you're not praying for parking space. You like, Jesus, I want to live today. I want to make it. I need to go get some food, and I need to come back alive. It's totally different. Hello, right? And so prayer has to do with petitions or what we want or what we may need, but supplication goes to another. It goes to a different level. Like I said, this one word study says prayer is general, supplication is special. Of the 35 times, let me go back to the Puerto Rican mayor of San Juan. She said this. She said, I thought I'd never do this, but I'm going to do it. She says, I beg you, if anybody can help us, come save us. Come save us. I'm not being political. I'm using a point that was on TV. If you saw it, I'm using, because I want to show you what supplication is. She says, I beg you, come help us. Now, of the 35 times the word supplication is mentioned in the scriptures, 18, over half of them have to do with repentance, prayer, and supplication on the part of the children of Israel. In particular, during Solomon's prayer and dedication of the temple. So when he was praying, he said, Lord, when our people pray and bring their supplication to you, hear them, have mercy on us, and redeem us. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 reads this way, who, speaking of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, notice the distinctions, prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Jesus was about to give up his life in the Garden of Gethsemane. And now make no mistake about this. No human being wants to die. Why? Because God didn't create us to die. Nobody, no one wants to die. The Son of God, though he knew it was his destiny, his human nature, when he's in the garden, he was troubled by this. Because he didn't deserve death. He wasn't dying because of what he did. He was dying because of what we did. And there was a wrestling there. And so the supplications, the strong cries, pleading with his father. Remember, he went back three times. He went and said the same thing. Father, if there is any other way, but not my will. But he was pleading with his father. Okay? He kept going back. He was begging his father, Father, but not my will, thy will be done. And so as we look at supplication, let me read another example. Esther chapter 4 and verse 8. Remember the story of Esther. Haman gonna wipe out the entire race. At least he's gonna try to. And Mordecai gets wind of it. And he goes into the court with a copy of the decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan. The scripture says that he might show it to Esther and explain to her that he might command her. Now, here's Mordecai, the uncle. He's commanding the queen to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. She wasn't going in. Oh, king, I think I need some nails, some new nails. Can I get some? She wasn't going in for that. She was going in and throwing herself down. You remember what happened. When you go in before the king, if he did not hold out the golden scepter, you're dead. Okay? He hadn't called her for 30 days. He hadn't seen her for 30 days. So she was quite unsure of where she stood with him. But she pleaded with the king. Mordecai told her, go in there and plead. What I want you to notice is that this supplication, you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where it's not just prayer, but you're crying? You are bearing your soul before God. And I mean, it's passionate, it's emotional, it's real, it's urgent.
Supplications is not waking up in the morning, Father, I thank you for this day. I pray you go before me and make my way clean and straight. No. Supplication is on a whole nother level. And yet Paul said, praying always, in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me read another one. 2 Kings chapter 20. This is when, you remember the story of when the prophet goes to Hezekiah and he says, Hezekiah, get your house in order. He said, because you're going to die. That's what the Lord told him. And in 2 Kings 20 verse 2, the scripture reads, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And then it says this, and Hezekiah wept bitterly. Hezekiah did not want to die. And he's crying out to God to spare his life. Second Chronicles in 33 has to do with Hezekiah's son, Manasseh. And Manasseh, God has sent prophets to him over and over and over again to live right and do right. But the scripture says, but they would not listen. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the armies of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now, when he was in affliction, remember what I said earlier about affliction. When he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God. He wasn't listening when God was just sending the prophets. But soon as the affliction came, he turned. He implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. And God received his entreaty, and God heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. When Manasseh cried out to God to forgive him and to spare his life, God heard him. Supplication a lot of times has to do, Jesus was praying, do I have to die, Lord? Father, do I have to die? Esther was crying out for her life and the lives of her people. Hezekiah was crying out for his life. Manasseh was praying for his life. David in Psalm 30 says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? David's praying for his life. And if there's any king who prayed for his life, you remember David being chased by Saul. David, he told Jonathan, he said, Jonathan, Saul's son, he says, Jonathan, you know there's but a step between me and death. That's what David told Jonathan. He said, death is one step behind me. Just that whole imagery. He says, that's how close I am to dying, Jonathan. But he cried out to God. He says, and I made to the Lord, I made my supplication. O Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. He would cry out. And so, Paul says to us that we're to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I remember two occasions where the spirit of supplications and intercession hit me. I remember in 1994 walking, shopping with my mother, and we were in Kmart, and I walked past the TV section, and on all the televisions, the news had just broke of the Rwandan genocide. You remember the Hutus and the Tutsis. They were slaughtering each other. And they had the images on the screen. And as I walked by, we were just shopping. As I walked by and I turned and I looked at it, tears. I mean, uncontrollable. I was trying to find a place. You know when the Bible says Joseph was getting emotional and ran from his brothers trying to find a place to cry? I'm up in Kmart and I'm trying to duck into some clothes, because the emotions that came over me with this vehement crying and heaving and just sobbing, God, save them. Help us, God. Look at us. Jesus, they were just machetes, just chopping, killing people. It just did something to me. And the second occasion was on September 10th, 2011, the day before 9/11. And as I was in a conference, just uncontrollable weeping and tears, and just fell on the floor just crying
in a mess. And I knew what was going on, but I didn't know what it was addressing until the next morning. And I said, oh my God, oh my God. Just the cry, supplications. The Lord knows what we need. And the Lord knows where to take us in the Spirit. Paul said here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows what we need to pray for when we don't know. Because the Spirit knows what the mind of the Father is and prays according to the will of God. Romans 8 says, Father, help us to pray in the Spirit. And that when we begin to pray and we, you know, when we begin to pray and we go off into the Spirit and things are revealed to us, that happens when you pray. When you give yourself to prayer, God will then reveal things to you. Hello. Sometimes without you even knowing it, just praying. But he's, because we go to prayer to get his will done. That's what we go to prayer to do. That's why Jesus verbalized it for us, and I believe he verbalized it specifically for us. When he was praying, he prayed, not my will. When he went to prayer, it wasn't about his will. He went to prayer for the will of the Father. And so don't think it's strange when you go to prayer that something is revealed for you to pray into, for you to give yourself to prayer in, because that's praying and supplication in the Spirit so that God would have his way. He said, being watchful to this end. I like this. Paul says, being watchful. Pray with your eyes open. Now that's not literal. I'm just saying. Paul says, but when Jesus said, watch and pray, he told his disciples, watch and pray. In other words, be alert. Keep your eyes open. Know what's going on, but continue to pray. And he said, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication, listen, for all the saints. And so this morning when I was praying and I had this vision concerning Sherry Reed, I also thought about this passage of scripture right here. And I began to pray, Father, Lord, when we pray, listen, when you pray, don't only expect to hear from God concerning your situation and your priorities, but believe God and know that God wants to touch the people that are next to you, the people that are in your sphere of influence, particularly his children. Hello. Come on, I know God lays things on Kweku's heart. Him and I'll be talking about things. He says, Pastor, I got this person on my heart. Pastor, I'm praying for this pastor. And I'm just watching him go, and I said, yes, Lord, because that's how God works. We are a body. We are members one of another. And I don't care just for the things that concern me, but I care for the things that concern you, because you and I are one in Christ Jesus. And so when one hurts, we all hurt. Amen. Praying with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and persevering, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, Paul said. So we're not in this just for ourselves. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I heard, I'm not going to say who, but I was praying for someone here, and you're here today. And I was praying in my prayer closet, and I said, Father, I just pray that this would work this way. And I knew I was praying the will of God. And on Tuesday night, the person comes in and stands up to, I just want to give God thanks because this and this is working. And the person described it just as it went out in prayer. Exactly as it went out in prayer. And I just stood there going, I didn't say a word, but I just stood there going, Jesus, 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 hey. Why? Because he loves this individual. And he wants to work his will in and through this individual. And through prayer, our prayers, he is. He is. This is why prayer is important. This is why Paul said that we are now to give ourselves to all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is in no way condemning anyone about prayer, because I don't pray 2 hours a day, not sitting in one spot. I don't, you know, Pastor, do you sit in your bedroom and pray 6 hours a day? Are you serious? No. Do you pray an hour a day in your bed? No. I get up and thank God. Father, I thank you that I'm in my right mind. I thank you that you woke me up this morning. Father, help me. Now I go bless my wife. I go kiss her, lay hands on her, and then I'm out the door. And it's on to work. And when I get to work, I read my Bible along. I open up the YouVersion, amen, and I have devotions, and I pray. Thank you, Jesus. And I know he's Lord over my day. And then it's gone, right? And you trust in him with everything, right? So I'm not here to you better pray. I tell you, you better pray. God's upset with you. You're not praying. Nothing could be further from the truth. If God wanted to blow people up about their prayer life, when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," Jesus could have just stood back and double barrel, boom on them. He could have just, "I'm going to get you now. You asked for it. Here it come." No. Our Heavenly Father, listen, it's quite the opposite. Our Heavenly Father draws us into prayer. He draws us. Hello. Why? Because he loves us. And the and what he wants in his bride, he loves her into it. He does not force her into it. See? Because he knows once you taste and see that the Lord is good, you're going to keep coming back. Why? Because what he has, you can't get anywhere. I said, what he has, you can't get anywhere. And once you get there, you'll be saying, "Are you serious? How long have I known Jesus? And all of this has been available to me? And I'm just getting here now?" I'm telling you, that will be your experience. Once you get closer to him, the closer you get to him, you'll be saying, "Wait a second, Lord, for real? How long have I known you? And I'm just here now? Just now?" That's in this life. Eternity's going to make up for it all. Okay? But that doesn't mean we don't strive. That doesn't mean that we don't give ourselves to what he has for us. Okay? So now that we're equipped for battle, let's pray for the will of God to be accomplished in one another's lives and contend in prayer for those answers to prayer. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you now. We thank you, O God, for your goodness toward us. We thank you, Lord, that he who began a good work in us is faithful. Father, we thank you that you who started it, you said, "I'm well able to finish it. I'm going to complete it. I'm going to do it. Because what I start, I finish. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And what I start, I complete." Father, we thank you that you chose us, adopted us into your family, filled us with the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And Lord, we thank you for your agape love, the love of the Father that is everlasting, that is enduring, Lord, that is resting upon each and every one of our lives, every moment of our existence. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would simply woo us into deeper realms of prayer. Woo us into the place, Lord, of being with you at all times. Lord, that as you chose us, we would choose you. And as you first loved us, we would then turn and love you, oh God. Oh Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you, Christ Jesus. And Father, we magnify you today. We love you. We worship you. And we pray that your will would be done in us through the power of your Holy Spirit. All this week, oh God, let it be so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. Thank you, Jesus.